As part of our Lenten journey this week, I want to invite you to Soup in the Word on Tuesday at noon here at this church. We will gather together along with five, probably six other churches on Tuesday. So I hope that you can make it for a simple time, short time of worship, a devotional. And then also a time of just having fellowship around the table together with some simple soup and a simple sandwich. Nothing big. If you're coming from work, we plan to start right close to noon, and we'll be done by 1 o'clock so that you can get back to work if you're coming from work. But it's a time where we can gather together with other churches and worship with them and support and encourage one another. It's a time I have looked forward to throughout my ministry. I'm glad that when I came here today, or this when I came to this church, that churches were doing that. It was just the three churches on Church Street that were doing that, but I was used to that with all the churches in the South Hill area. And we had so many churches that participated that not every church got to host every year. And so this year we're only hosting once instead of twice like we have done in the past, because we have other churches that want to participate too. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll be going to United Methodist Churches, Presbyterian Church, a Methodist Church, an Episcopal Church, and we'll just get to spend some time together worshiping the Lord. So please come on Tuesday at noon. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. And I told you last week that Lent is a time for us to prepare ourselves for Easter. In a similar way to Advent is a way to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child again each year. Lent is a time for us to look at what Jesus went through in his life. So as I preach from the Gospels, during this time, it's going to focus on what Jesus was doing and what happened to Jesus. And today we're going to see a high moment and a low moment that happened right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. I don't know about you, but there's always something wonderful about having a mountaintop experience religiously, a spiritual moment that you hold on to and that you cherish, whether it's going off to a retreat somewhere and being involved in a worship service that lifts you up. I did that for a number of years, going to Lake Junaluska and participating in what Open Room did there, called Soul Feast, and it was about 4 days of wonderful worship and workshops along with other traditions and just lifting you up. And in the mountains of North Carolina, if you've never been to Lake Junaluska, I would strongly encourage you go there one day just to walk around the lake. Just to walk around the lake. I not only went there for years for Soul Feast, but I went there my family and I, we would rent houses there because they had lots of houses to rent for the week. And for like $600, $700, $100 a week at that time, you had the whole house. And normally had everything included in it. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful place. And it was always a place of high mountaintop experience for me, not just because it was in the mountains, but because it had become a very special spiritual place to me. Maybe you've had those mountaintop experiences. And most everybody, these high, exciting spiritual moments are enjoyed by most people. They cherish them. They love them. Last week, we looked at a mountaintop experience that three of the disciples had with Jesus, right? The Mount of Transfiguration. What an incredible moment. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there with Jesus and Moses and Elijah and just eavesdropped on their conversation, whatever it was about? What a moment that would have been. Such a high and exciting moment that Peter didn't want it to end. He was willing to build houses. He said tents, but I think he was willing to build houses for all of them to stay there forever and just enjoy that experience. I didn't continue on in that passage last week, but as they came down the mountain after Jesus told them not to tell anybody what they had witnessed, they came down the mountain to a father whose son had epilepsy. And the other disciples, the nine that were left down there, were trying to figure out how to heal the boy and couldn't do it. They left a mountaintop experience to come down to hardness, difficulty. Well, Jesus begins with a mountaintop experience. Jesus' ministry begins with that type of moment at his baptism. Another moment I would have loved to have been there. Some of the Gospels report that everybody got to hear. Mark doesn't really tell us that everybody got to hear what happened. It may have been just Jesus that noticed it. And the way that Mark writes it, that's the way it kind of seems to be. That Jesus was baptized, and as he came up out of the water, the Spirit descended upon him, the clouds parted, and a voice from heaven says, "You are my son, and in you I am well pleased." What an incredible moment. "You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." It appears as though this moment is just for Jesus, because what's communicated is just for him. And he gets to hear these words. Can you imagine if you were to walk outside right now and the heavens were to open up and God were to speak out right straight to you? Can you imagine what that would be like? That you heard it clear as day? It wouldn't matter if anybody else heard it, would it? You heard God say to you, "You are my child, and I love you, and with you, I am well pleased." Wow, that would be something you would cherish for a long, long, long time, wouldn't it? Something you'd hold on to, and a moment that you would want to hear it again and again and again, and probably never get tired of hearing God say that to you. Well, kind of as an aside, here's what I'm going to let you know. God is saying that to you every day. The question is, are you hearing it? Every day, God is speaking out to you in some way, saying, "You are my daughter. You are my son. I love you. And with you, I am well pleased." Every day, God's saying that. Somehow, some way, God is saying that to you right now. Can you hear it? Can you hear God saying, "You are my child. I love you. With you, I am well pleased." I know some of you want to go, no, God, I'm not that good. But God still says, "I love you." God still says, "I'm pleased with you." Can you hear it? I think it's important that we know those high moments. You see, you've heard me say this before. I believe that God is always speaking to us. Always. Never stops. Always. The unfortunate thing is, most of the time, we don't hear it. We're attuned to something else. Maybe some of the younger folks won't understand this, but you older folks will. Especially if I say AM radio. I know some of you have no idea what AM radio is. I'll explain that one to you later, okay? It stands for amplitude modulation, is what it stands for. And it's a radio signal that, believe it or not, is right here in the air around you at this moment. Not just one radio station. There are probably multiple radio stations, whether it's AM or FM, frequency modulation. Whether it's either one of those, it's in the air right now here in our presence. Anybody hearing it? Yeah, if you stick your hand up for that one, we're all going to go, uh-huh. You know why you're not hearing it? Because you don't have a tuner that can tune to that frequency. That's why you're not hearing it. All the broadcast TV stations, anybody listening to them right now? They're right here. They're in this air, in our presence. Can you see it? Can you hear it? You don't have a tuner that's tuned quite right. And if you're just a little bit off the frequency, even if you had a tuner, you still won't hear it, right? You got to be right on the station. I grew up with 5 TV stations when I was growing up. That was it. 3, 10, 13, 15, and 27. Those were the only 5 stations we had. That was it. You couldn't put your TV on channel 4 and watch any of them. You could have the TV on, but if it wasn't on one of those 5 numbers, you weren't watching anything. And sometimes, even if it was on one of those numbers, you weren't watching it either. Because maybe the antenna wasn't adjusted right. Or it needed to be adjusted just a little bit. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? Unless we're attuned to hearing God speak to us and hearing God say to us, "You are my daughter. You are my son. I love you. With you, I am well pleased." That communication is right here, right now, just as every radio station and every broadcast TV station is in the air. That communication is in this air too. Are you hearing it? That day, Jesus got to hear it in an almost unbelievable way. Right at the beginning of his ministry, he got to hear it. Think of what just great lift that would be. And then I want you to pay attention to what Mark says. Verse 12. Jesus has just heard these words. Listen to verse 12. At once, the Spirit sent him out to the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and angels attended him. At once, the Holy Spirit leads him out into the wilderness, into a low moment for the journey. Gosh, incredibly high moment. You're my son. I love you. In you I am well pleased. Okay, now go out in the desert and let Satan tempt you. Wait a minute. That doesn't seem fair, does it? That's the first thing I think I could hear some young kids say. That's not fair. Anybody ever had their children say that? Or did anybody as a child say, that's not fair? I mean, incredibly high moment for Jesus. And it says the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting and being tempted by Satan. At once. By the way, in case you didn't know it and haven't read Mark's gospel through from beginning to end, he has a favorite word. His favorite word is immediately. Sit down and read the whole gospel one time. See how many times you see immediately, at once, and then. I mean, Mark's gospel is very, okay, now, and now, and now, and now, and now, and Jesus come and out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Wait a minute, God allows that to be happening? Yes. A high moment, and probably one of the lowest moments of Jesus' life. Now, Mark doesn't detail the temptations as the other Gospels do that talk about it. But he hasn't been eaten for 40 days. And Satan comes to him and says, see that rock right there? Make bread out of it. And Jesus says, nope. Man doesn't live just by bread alone, but lives by the words that comes from God's mouth. That's why you hear me talk at times about, have you eaten your spiritual food today? I venture to say not many of us miss a meal. Not many of us miss four meals a day. Okay, I have a snack before I go to bed. It's another meal. It's not something simple 9 out of 10 times. It's another meal. But the question is, do you miss your spiritual food at all during the day? Throughout my ministry, I've heard people say, man, I'm glad to go to church because that really recharges my battery for the week. And I've always thought, if this is the only spiritual food that you eat, how do you last the week? Because I don't last till tomorrow on what food I get today from God. I need some more tomorrow. I need some more the day after. And sometimes I need food 2 or 3 times or 4 times a day. Come on, you can tell me how many people have 4 meals a day. Zach, I know you have what, 5, 6? Spiritual food. How often do you eat that? That's your life. That is your life. But Jesus is at this high moment, led to this low moment. You know what? Here's what we need to realize, because we don't want to realize this. I think in the back of our heads, we know this. Both of these moments are important to prepare Jesus for the spiritual journey ahead. Both of them are important. One, because he needs to know how to deal with Satan. Satan is going to pester him from that day until the day of his death. How do you deal with Satan? If Satan's not pestering you as you walk your spiritual life, you're not walking the spiritual life right. It's going to happen. Because if you're walking the spiritual life right, Satan doesn't want you to do that. Because if you walk the spiritual life right, you can bring other people to Christ. So if Satan can keep you from walking the spiritual life right, you won't bring other people to Christ. Satan is going to pester you. It's going to happen. We're going to have high moments, mountaintop experiences, wonderful opportunities, wonderful things that open incredible doors to understand God better, and then we're going to have low moments too, where nothing seems like it's going right. And there's going to be moments where you even go, why do I even bother to try to live the spiritual life? It's not worth it. Why bother? It's going to happen. It is going to happen, both high and low moment. Jesus needed this. Because what's going to happen? One of his own is going to betray him. One of the ones that he spent all night in prayer about selecting betrays him. Another one of them is going to deny that he even knows Jesus. Three times. Not just once. Three times. Nope. You're confusing me with somebody else. Nope. Not me. I have no idea who you're talking about. You know what? We need both high and low moments to teach us how to walk fully with God. We need both of them. I'm so thankful to a man that was my interim pastor at my home church. His name was Paul Carter. Stood about 6'6", somewhere in that neighborhood. He was taller than me. But he was so humble that you never saw how tall he was. He was so meek and so comfortable to be around. And I sat down with him and said, Paul, I'm thinking about going off to seminary and becoming a minister. And I talked to him for 45 minutes. And he looked at me and he said, not once in 45 minutes did you tell me that God's called you to do this. You told me you wanted to do it. And he looked at me and said, I don't think you should. That was an incredibly low moment at that point. Really? Then I took some time to say, we're going to solve this, God. Are you calling me or not? Because what Paul taught me was that if you're not called, you won't stick with it. Look at what happened for Jesus. At his baptism, he was called. He was identified. You are the one. You are the one I love and that I trust in and that I know can carry this out. And I can only envision that there are many times that Jesus went out into ministry and said, really? Wait a minute. I heard God speak. I heard God say, yes. On October 13th, 1995, sitting on a brick wall in Bay Lake Pines Recreational Park, not a brick wall, a stone wall, and I heard God say, I am calling you out to be a minister. I heard it. There is no denying that fact. I heard it clear as all get out. And I heard what God said about my path ahead in some indistinct ways. Heard it. And you know what happens when I get to the low points where I'm ready to just Lord, I done had enough. I ain't doing this no more. By the way, I don't often speak to God in correct grammatical English, by the way, especially when I'm really low down. And I can remember many times telling God, I've had enough. I am not doing this anymore. This is too much. I don't want to walk this way anymore. I'm done with this. And God says, Do you remember Friday the 13th in October of 1995? Yeah, I do. I remember it clear as all get out. Yes, I remember it, Lord. He said, do you remember I called you? Yep. I was reading a story about them tapping Saul as the first king of Israel. Samuel told him, you need to be at such and such a place, and we'll go through the process so that everybody knows that you're called by God to do this. Anybody remember that story? It's the tribe. It's the clan. It's the family. It's Saul. Wait a minute, where is he? How come he's not here? He was told to be here. Can't find him. And do you know what God says to the folks? God says to him, he's over there hiding amongst the baggage. And as soon as I heard that, God said, Tim, how long are you going to hide in the baggage? I'm calling you. I have my list of excuses, by the way. Everybody's got those, right? Moses had them. I had mine. And God says, the people that you're concerned about, that you're ministering to you right now, do you not understand I love them more than you do? And that even without you, I can take care of them. I'm calling you to be a minister. And I pick myself up from the low places of life. You know, the low places I'm talking about. Lower than the belly of a snail in a wagon rut. And I pick myself up and play and say, yes, God, you called me. You've equipped me. I can do it. I'm moving forward. You see, we need both the high moments and the low moments. Treasure them both. Because it's in the low moments that I can still feel that stone wall that I was sitting on. I can still see out in front of that stone wall three places that God told me I'd serve. I can still see the parking lot in my car. I'm not sure, but I think I got rid of the duster by then. I don't think it was the duster by then. But I can see the car. I had come on the wall from the back side to sit on it. And I knew that I had to move forward if I was going to get in my car and go home, not backwards. I still see it. Folks, treasure those high moments. But we also need the low moments to define the high moments. We need both. Because what did Jesus do next? Do you see what he did next? After John had been put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. It is the right moment. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Amen? The high moment and the low moment were together, that Jesus could come right into Galilee and start preaching. What about you? What about you? Are you looking only for the high moments? And not seeing how it all fits together? There's some really low moments in my life, even after becoming a minister. I've confessed to you, I've got OCD. I do not bless that on even the worst person I know. It's horrible. It is absolutely horrible. Ask my family. They watched me, as we get ready to leave for vacation, leave the car 4, 5, and 6 times to go make sure the door was locked. And then they watched me get back in the car, stop the car, go back inside and make sure the coffee pot was off. I'd hit a bump in the road and turn around and come back and make sure I didn't run over somebody. That's OCD, guys. It's difficult to live with. In some moments when it overtakes me, I'm like, God, I don't want to do this anymore. And God says, do you remember? I called you. I am so thankful to Paul Carter because he told me finally, he said, if you're not called, you won't last. And you're going to have to go back to that call hundreds of times in your ministry to say, yep, going forward. That's why some ministers don't last. I remember one guy, first year I was in seminary, they had us in small groups together. Share with each other why you're here. So I shared a little bit about my call. Next guy in the group. Well, I'm here because as long as I'm in school, I don't have to pay back my student debts from undergrad. I'm like, ooh, he ain't gonna last long. I'm like, really? You're putting yourself through what we go through to prepare ourselves to become ministers because you're trying to delay your paying off your loans. I don't think he was there the second year. Are you holding the high moments and the low moments together? How can you embrace the fullness of life, the ups and the downs, and prepare for the journey ahead? How can you embrace the fullness of your life, the ups and the downs? How can you do that? Because that all is preparing you for the journey of your life, the journey that God has ahead of you. I know my journey well as an alcoholic. And I can sit down with somebody who's having a problem with alcohol and say, you know what? You can get through this. If you'll let God help you, you can get through this. I can meet somebody who has OCD. By the way, I can spot them. I know all the identifying characteristics. And I just want to help them. You see, the high moments go with the low moments. How can you embrace the fullness of life so that you're prepared for the spiritual journey ahead that God has for you? It's going to be different than my journey. You know how I know? Because I don't think any of you worked in the shipyard for 12 years and know all the words that they use in the shipyard. Well, maybe you know all the words they use in the shipyard. See, God's prepared all of us for our journey ahead. Embrace it. Come to understand it so that you can share God's love with people. That's what Jesus did. Let's pray. Lord, when we look at what your son had to go through, he's your son. He's 100% God. And yet he still had low moments to go through, times of temptations and trials and betrayals and times of people fighting against him, saying that he was not your son. And yet, Lord, he held all that together with the incredible high moments that you brought him through. And through each and every one of those things, he was able to minister. Lord, help us that we might see our high moments and our low moments and come from both of them and go, now is the time. Now is the moment. It's the right moment for me to declare to other people that Jesus Christ is the Savior of this world. Lord, help us to do that, because there's so many out there that don't know you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, Lord. Amen.